Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go,
man. Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up this hour, who is going to slow down Patrick Mahomes and why everybody is upset at my Tiger Woods take this morning. It's all coming up this hour here on the show. As always, hit us up on the phones. Everything that happened yesterday in the NFL, college football on Saturday as well. Crazy day in college football on Saturday that will get lost in the NFL shuffle today. But the middle class of college football is so parity driven. It's remarkable. There are four great teams in college football. One is an all-timer. Right now, Alabama looks like maybe its best version of itself since Saban took over, which is really saying something. Alabama is so far and away the greatest team in college football right now. But Clemson, Ohio State, very, very good teams. And, you know, I think that there is a chance that by the end of the season, you have Alabama looking a little bit more human, and Georgia's in that conversation as well. So Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama. Then everybody else after that, it's a real crapshoot. And to see all of those top 15 teams lose to unranked foes shows you the college football middle class is as up and down, as unpredictable as it has ever been. It's just that there are the haves, there's the one percenters, those top four, and then there's everybody else in college football. And everybody else is going to beat each other's heads in, and we don't know what to expect on Saturdays. In the NFL, I don't know if there's a ruling class like that. I don't know if there really is an unbeatable team like that. The Rams look pretty damn good. But I'm not so certain the Rams can't be had because they haven't done it before like Alabama has done it before. So everything is still passing a test for them to try to reach the ultimate goal. In the AFC, the New England Patriots are flawed. They are a flawed team. And I thought it was fascinating earlier this morning on the After Hours show when one of the beat reporters for the Patriots, Mark Daniels, joined After Hours and said, there are problems everywhere on this team. Look, he's a guy that has covered the Patriots for a while. He's a guy that has seen this team, this roster, inside and out. He said, there are problems everywhere. He's right. If you're looking at this going, well, I mean, they should turn it around, that's fine, because history would dictate, history would suggest that Belichick and Brady find solutions to problems, but they don't have the horses this year, and I think they have lost what has made them great, which is an unbending commitment to Bill and the Patriot way, which starts with their quarterback. And once that is broken, suddenly Bill doesn't have 100% buy-in anymore. And that's when you start losing, when things start coming apart. The greatest advantage Bill has ever had is that his greatest player, his best player, the only player that's been on all of these teams, the quarterback, the guy that makes everything go, and one of the greats of all time, 100% bought into Bill. So if you were anybody else, you'd look like a bozo for not doing it. If Tom's going to buy in, just like if Tim Duncan's going to buy into Pop, You better buy in because Tim's in, Brady's in. If you've got that buy-in, you're an idiot if you don't buy in. Well, Bill and Tom are at each other's throats. Tom is not 100% bought into Belichick anymore. And I think you are now seeing an exposure happening where the Patriots aren't a great team roster-wise, talent-wise. And I'm sure you have guys in that locker room thinking about the Malcolm Butler benching, thinking about Danny Amendola leaving to have more fun, thinking about Gronk thinking about retiring, thinking about Tom Brady at odds with Bill and saying, Bill might not be right all the time. I mean, last night, I never thought I'd say this, Matt Patricia put a clown suit on the Patriots. How is that possible? And so it brings us to the only win the Patriots have had, which is against an 0-3 Texans team that just got pounded by a Giants squad that was winless before yesterday.
Manning in a shotgun set, calls out the signal, takes the snap, back to throw, steps up, fires to the end zone, touchdown Giants! Sterling Shepard! What a throw by Manning, excellent route by Shepard, and with 2:08 to go, the Giants now lead it 26-15 with the extra point pending.
That's on us. We've got to pay a better attention to detail. That's hurt us. It hurt us big today. So, just come out this week at practice and knock in.
That was Bob Papa on the Giants radio network, and that was DeAndre Hopkins after another snooze fest loss for the Texans, who are now 0-3. And couldn't get any offense going yesterday against a Giants defense that was banged up in their home opener. Guys, I'm here to tell you one really cold, hard truth. Bill O'Brien, a.k.a. Butt Chin McGee, is the most overrated coach in the NFL. The most overrated coach. He has one of the great weapons in football in Deshaun Watson, and he doesn't know how to use them. He has Will Fuller, DeAndre Hopkins, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Miller, and doesn't know how to move the football. He's the play caller. He's the play caller. Guys, what has been the one constant amongst the Texans since Bill O'Brien got there? If they have won, when they have won, they've won because of defense. They've won because Watt and Clowney and Merciless and Bouye and other standout defensive players of the Texans defense has been the strength that he has ridden with garbage quarterbacks, sometimes to division titles, sometimes to a few winning seasons. The strength of the Texans has never been offense. And when Deshaun Watson went down last year, what happened? They cratered. Now, I'm not saying most coaches are going to survive much once their starting quarterback goes down, but it wasn't even like they were 500. They didn't win a football game after Deshaun Watson went down. Bill O'Brien was handpicked because he was the offensive coordinator for Tom Brady, because he was supposed to be the offensive guy. And what happened? The weakness of his team has been his unit. And yesterday, Mraz, I know you were happy your Giants got off the schneid, but how much of that was just how awful the Texans are?
They are inept. I screamed a week ago today about how inept the Giants were. They found the one team in the league more inept than them. Their play calling was atrocious. Their offensive line's a mess. Their in-game adjustments stink. Defensively, they can't find a way to get Clowney going. And, I mean, we're throwing jump balls to Lamar Miller, who's 5'10", when you have DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller on your team. Nothing about them makes any sense.
That offense is lost. And to be lost with Deshaun Watson is hard to do. It's really hard to do.
Last week, DA, versus the Giant Cowboy game, the Cowboys got successful because they ran so much run-pass option with Dak Prescott. You have a quarterback built for run-pass option in Deshaun Watson, and they literally ran none of that yesterday. How about watch some film?
Bill O'Brien has had three winning seasons in 4+ years. Those winning seasons were 9-7, 9-7, 9-7. In a division where you were basically getting two wins a year against the Jaguars during those times. And then the Texans, the Titans, and the Colts another two of those years was Andrew Luck was out. Last year, he went 4-12. I mean, the season went to hell in a handbasket as soon as Deshaun Watson went down. This year, he's 0-3. He's the most overrated coach in the NFL, and there's two things that work for him. Number one, he's the quote-unquote best Patriots assistant coach that became a head coach, which is a very low bar. I mean, basically, you just don't have to be a disaster. Number two, he talks tough. He owns it. Yesterday, he said, "This is on me. Terrible play calling," and he's the play caller. So people like it when you own it, which is good. I like it when you own it, too, when you're a disaster. That's helping him. That he's gone to the playoffs twice, and he's the best of the Patriots assistant coaches. Again, low bar. He's a mess. And that organization should not be 0-3. They had designs on winning the division, going to the playoffs, making a run. They're 0-3, and they look lost. They look totally lost. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. David's in Louisiana, listening on 100.7 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, DA. How are you doing today,
buddy? Good, man. I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. First, I want to commend you on speaking out about the rules in the NFL. I mean, Clay Matthews, I'm a big Detroit Lions fan, but Clay Matthews deserves those two sacks the past 2 weeks. But I'm calling you because Tiger Woods, you're saying it's not a big deal, that it's just nostalgia.
Yeah.
Look, he finished second in the FedEx Cup standings, all right? He didn't even play half the year, which means he has found his groove for one, which is what he's been working so hard on. But the thing that makes him so special is his consistency. And his consistency is what the sport needs, obviously.
But I don't think the sport needs Tiger Woods. There is so many great young golfers. Why does the sport need Tiger?
No. I agree. There is a lot of great golfers, but Tiger has that it factor. He has that it factor.
And why? Why?
In what?
Why?
Being able to be there at the end.
Why does he have the it factor?
Why did Joe Montana have the it factor?
No, he's got the it factor because of nostalgia.
No,
because he hasn't closed a major in a decade, so it's nostalgia.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I've already told you next year he's going to get two. No. Okay, look, next year is going to be a full season, and we'll have a better spectrum to talk about. But buddy,
David,
buddy,
you're a fanboy. You're a fanboy. It's okay, no, just admit it.
Look. Yeah, I support who I like. All right, yeah. But I watched golf all day yesterday. I didn't watch football, mostly because I understand the rules of golf and I don't understand the rules of football.
That's fair.
But it was amazing watching that because even you saw him get overwhelmed by it. The whole field was overwhelmed by Tiger Mania yesterday, and that is the special.
But that's nostalgia. That's exactly why I'm talking about it being nostalgia. The tour is into him because they remember when he was great.
Okay, it's been 5 years. Who else has stepped up to the plate?
Has Jordan Spieth not?
Was he there yesterday?
Well, okay.
Was he there the past few weeks?
How about the majors? Aren't we? What's amazing is that here's the amazing thing about Tiger, okay? Tiger's great when he's winning majors because he's going to chase down Jack's majors record of 18. But then as soon as he's not winning majors, it's about winning the FedEx Cup, right? That's how this thing changes for Tiger fanboys. Majors, 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 majors. Well, it's not about majors anymore. It's about the FedEx points. Oh, when did that change? Look, here is the reality. I don't blame you if you are a Tiger fanboy. Just be honest about it. That's what is problematic, at least to me from where I sit in the media. We have a bunch of Tiger fanboys that won't admit it because they're supposed to be unbiased observers. Okay, but ultimately yesterday is this. LeBron James has an amazing career. Might go down in history as the greatest of all time. He ends up becoming a booze hound, a pill popper, becomes a disaster, gets injured, walks away from the game, has awful marital problems, looks like his career is over, and we go, man, that was a great career that got snuffed out too soon. And then he starts building himself back. He starts looking better. And then yesterday was on a day where something big was happening in sports. He clinches the 5 seed in the Western Conference playoffs. You're like, wow, Tigers, that's amazing. Wow, LeBron, that's amazing. When in reality, it's not a major, which is what we used to grade him on. We used to. Like for LeBron, that would be like, well, we used to grade him out on going to the NBA Finals. Now it's just making the playoffs. That's amazing. It's fine if you love Tiger. I'm not here to tell you don't love him, but don't sell me that yesterday was some unbelievable, remarkable event that we have to consume ourselves with. It wasn't that important. It was nice out of nostalgia. You know, it was like Jordan dropping 50 for the Wizards. It's nice out of nostalgia, but ultimately it doesn't matter. It didn't matter. It wasn't like he was competing for championships with the Wizards. Now, if Tiger's competing for the majors next year, that's a totally different story. But don't sell me that a golf tournament that we never care about, ever. I've been on the radio every September for nearly 20 years. We never talk about the Tour Championship, ever, because it's going up against football. So for the first time in its history, we're talking about it. And people are going to tell me, oh, no, it was really important because, you know, it was Tour Championship and, you know, FedEx, and this is a big deal. No, it was important to you because it was Tiger in there. That's why. If Rory wins that yesterday, it's not a blip. It's not a blip. And you'll say, well, yes, because Tiger has an it factor. Tiger has the it factor because of what he did 10 years ago. He's not winning majors right now. Well, he will. He's going to. That's because you want to believe that. I got to tell you, we got a lot of male fanboys about Tiger in the media. I'd like to know where the women stand on this. Where are all the wives that have potentially had, husbands with extramarital affairs? Are they rooting for Tiger the same way the guys are? Because somehow the guys have just completely ignored the fact that he ripped apart his family because he couldn't keep it in his pants. But you know what? Who cares? It's a great American sports story. He hopped himself up on pain pills. He wanted to sleep with everything that moved. He had a family, a wife, and a kids. But all the men out there are going, but I love Tiger because I loved him when I was 12 or I loved him when I was 25. Where's all the women? Are all the women going, you know what? I love Tiger too. I mean, even though he's a terrible husband, even though he did all of this to himself, I really am rooting for Tiger. No, I don't think so. This is, once again, a male prism of fanboy nostalgia that people can't let go of. If you love him, fine. It's up to you. But don't tell me that it's important, because it ain't. It hasn't been important ever, the Tour Championship. Suddenly, Tiger's in it at the end, and it's important. You want to know why? It's your own delusional lenses. When we come back, can anybody slow down Patrick Mahomes? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good value, big upside. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
To his right is Tyreek Hill out of motion. Mahomes, slant, caught inside the 10-yard line to the 5. Sammy Watkins breaks, tackles, touchdown! Kansas City, add another to the list for Patrick Mahomes. Sets another NFL record, a 12-yard touchdown pass. Mahomes is third of the game, 13 in 3 weeks.
My heart was pounding pretty fast. I mean, it really was an awesome experience. I mean, these fans, the passion that they have is unmatched anywhere else in this league. And so just to be able to run out of the tunnel for the first time, I mean, I was dreaming about it all last year, and so I'm glad I finally got to do that.
Mitch Holtis on Chiefs Radio. Touchdown, Kansas City. And Patrick Bob's Squarepants, after yet another amazing performance. Pat Mahomes, what can you say? He just is so in control. His arm strength is so amazing. He is so cool, calm, and collected. He runs the Dolphins so beautifully. I just think that, you know, the Pat Mahomes hype right now is extraordinary. And he's got all the tools. They've given him all the resources. He's running the offense that Andy Reid has developed better than anybody ever has. My only concern is at some point he's going to have a bad couple of games. Then is everybody going to turn on him, or has he built up enough goodwill here? Because it's not going to look like this all season long. In terms of what he's already done, what can you say? I mean, the Chiefs just look the part right now of one of the best teams in football. We've seen this, unfortunately, though, before from Kansas City, and they have ripped out Chiefs fans' hearts. I will say, though, that if there is a bugaboo and Achilles heel to Andy Reid, it is his overly conservative play calling and bad time management once we get to big games. The regular season is never usually a problem for Andy Reid. It's once we get to January. It's possible that this is the one guy, the one type of dynamic in the offense that even Andy Reid can't screw up. Because I think Mahomes is just looking for home run balls. Mahomes has the arm strength and the ability to go downfield and make plays. He's also got the agility, as you saw, on a broken play to scramble back 10 yards and then still find one of his guys in the end zone for a touchdown. He just has all of those abilities that a quarterback needs to not get bogged down into an overly conservative game plan or a moment being too big for them. So it's possible that Mahomes is just the perfect antidote to Andy Reid's overly conservative play calling. But without trying to go hyperbole, I mean, I don't really remember the last time really a rookie quarterback did this. Now, granted, he sat all of last season. I think that really helped him. But first year starting has never really looked like this offensively. You know, Peyton Manning put up some good numbers rookie season, but his team went 3-13. I think, you know, if you really had to go back, Tom Brady first year starting, they won football games, but he wasn't lighting the world on fire. He was very much so a game manager in 2001. I think the last time a rookie quarterback played like this, made such an explosive splash into the NFL and won games for a playoff team, there's a lot of Dan Marino right now and Patrick Mahomes. Marino in 83, he takes over the reins of the Dolphins offense, and immediately you go, holy cow. Wow, look at this. And they're winning games. They go to the playoffs. You know, the way that his quick release, his arm strength, his ability to go downfield, it's really, truly remarkable. And he has become must-watch television. And the Chiefs have become must-watch TV as well. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. Adam tweets, DA, it's not just Tiger fans. All golf pundits desperately want their sport to be cool again, just like it was when Tiger was winning. Hashtag nostalgia. I think that's part of it. Yes. I think the golf intelligentsia knows that when he was at his peak, golf was hot, and Tiger being good again makes golf relevant. And look, I'm a soccer fan. But I'm also realistic about how much soccer I can talk about, Hero. I also am realistic on what I try to sell or oversell and how much is just my passion for the game. And I think the problem is that golf fanboys about Tiger don't realize they're in golf cocoon and that there's a whole world out there that they overdo the importance of a Tiger event. Adriana is in Boise, Idaho, listening to 93.1 The Ticket. Good morning, Adriana.
Good morning. Permission to come aboard.
Permission granted. How you doing?
I'm doing well. What a weekend in football. And so I just wanted to weigh in on this Tiger thing. And I tweeted about it, but I had more to say, so I called. Yeah, first of all, it's football season. So can we just, it's football season. But secondly, yeah, I'm happy for him that he overcame, you know, his struggles. I would be happy for anyone on that front, but I just don't have any respect for him as a person, and so I don't care about watching him play. And I think that there's such a double standard when it comes to this, that if you're talented, we'll forgive all the terrible things you've done, but if you're not talented, then get him out. Like, how is that fair?
Can we give Adriana get him out here?
Get him out.
this happens in sports a lot. Tiger's not the first guy to have a lot of problems and us just forgive and forget away because he's good at sports again. But this is a remarkably male-centric point of view. This is a guy that breaks apart his marriage, has kids, sleeps with everything that will move, ultimate scandal of everybody coming out of the woodwork, and it's a redemption story. If Serena Williams had kids, a husband, and she cheated on her husband and had a family with 50 different guys, it became some sordid scandal, and then started popping pills, and was also a miserable human being to people covering that sport for years, which some people think she is, I got a hard time believing her redemption tour is this great American sports story. Yeah. No, it's bad mom, bad wife. You know all the words that would be associated with a woman doing exactly what Tiger did. But because it's a dude, well, how can you get on your high horse, D.A.? Oh, I'm not into his personal stuff, D.A. Oh, do you check what all the athletes are doing, D.A.? It is the most sordid extramarital scandal in sports history. But guys that have a you-know-what in their pants for Tiger Woods because of what he did in 1997 and 2002 and 2005, because they're all hot and bothered over how they used to feel about Tiger, suddenly it's the greatest redemption story of all time. You're all a bunch of hypocrites. Let's just call it what it is. You're a bunch of hypocrites, because if anybody else did this, it is that guy's a slime ball. He's this. It doesn't matter. I'm seeing through it. No way. You're not getting one over on me. When we come back, we've got your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail, the get him out chant. D.A., CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Love you bringing the knowledge to the city, but it's a little cornbread over there.
They're afraid to be great. They're afraid to be great, man. See, I can just let loose here.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
41 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks, as always, for joining us. The simulcast at watchda.com. Watch us at any device. Also, listen to us on Apple Music, radio.com, or the CBS Sports app. Boomer Parkin tweets, D.A., Dan Marino when you're watching, Patrick Mahomes, how about Ben Roethlisberger? That's a good one. I think Roethlisberger was good as a rookie in 2004 when they went 15-1 for a playoff team, certainly. But I don't think he was as explosive offensively as Patrick Mahomes is. I'm trying to think of a guy that really strikes fear in defenses where you are going into games going, we need to find answers to this young quarterback that's got arm strength that can beat us downfield, making the right decisions, and pushing this ball up the field constantly, which is why I go all the way back to Marino 83. But Roethlisberger's a good one because he was a rookie quarterback on a very good team. He just wasn't as explosive and dynamic as we're seeing early from Mahomes. Now, that could change, certainly, for Mahomes as the season wears on. People are asking for the update on the Battle of the Bulge, and I think that's a fair question to ask today.
This is a CBS News special report.
After Mraz entered the weekend with a one-game lead, Mraz ended up going 1-2 in his NFL picks. Huge freeze, trailing by a game, also went 1-2.
Far Bombay.
Which means we've got a barn burner right now. Mraz still leads Superstorm Robbie by a game, yet they are both sub-500 on their picks.
Thick person.
Mraz leads the Battle of the Bulge with a 4-5 record, where he who shall not be named is 3-6.
Bombay.
If you are betting money on both of these guys' picks, you are losing money right now.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
Rumpus.
It's just perfect. It's a slog to the end. It's a couple of hogs battling with one another in the slop. A 4-5 Mraz topping a 3-6 Robbie right now in the Battle of the Bulls.
Far Bombay.
Hey, it's time now for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Deborah tweets, in DA, don't you think that Tiger lost everything and paid a huge price for his stupid choices? Now he's just trying to work again? Look, did he pay a huge price? Yeah. Yeah, publicly humiliated, lost his family, lost his wife. Yes, absolutely. Almost lost his career. No question. But he's just trying to work again as a stretch. I mean, this is not a guy that's faulting on his mortgage and needs a job here. He's like a global brand ambassador that's worth, I would imagine, if not $1 billion, hundreds of millions of dollars. So if he wasn't competing on the tour this season, I don't think he'd be out panhandling or looking for some type of minimum wage job, okay? He's just trying to work again, D.A. The man is just trying to work again. He's got no other skill set.
Not like he's going to cut tape out in the newsroom.
By the way, speaking of the Battle of the Bulge here, Mraz, you were at a wedding over the weekend, and it was the wedding of a WFAN producer, and there were other CBS, Entercon, WFAN employees there. What was the prevailing conversations that you had?
Cocktail hour was an hour, and there were at least four separate conversations of people within the company berating me as I tried to eat a bison slider about why we are giving Huge Freeze this platform and why he is the least deserving person to win some kind of bout, if you will, and do a segment on a show on air because they find his work ethic to be cringeworthy. So much so that within the first dance of the bride and groom, it was almost uncomfortable at the table I was at that everybody was shooting daggers like, why are you doing this for Robbie? And I am trying to defend myself and say, guys, look, I win the picks here. He's gone. We're getting him out.
He's gone for good.
They weren't happy with that. They're saying, well, it's your guy, DA, who's giving him this voice. You're supposed to produce. Why are you allowing this? Everybody. And it wasn't like one mass thing. I had to keep answering questions. And now I know why Belichick does this to New England reporters. You got to stonewall them. How many times do I got to give the same answer?
In the morning, I'm leaving, making my way back to Cleveland.
The best part is that he might be disgraceful at his job. He might be a terrible producer. He might be the worst Uber driver of all time. I don't know. But I know when that microphone is open, he's got to do picks. That's a hell of a 10 minutes, man. Mm-hmm. That's all I know.
You are correct.
There was only one of them that admitted he was good on the air. The rest were like, he's a total stiff, this, that, the other thing. It was bad.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away.
I was singing Bombay.
Far Bombay.
All weekend twice.
Bombay.
It's so catchy.
Bo tweets, DA, don't forget about Michael Vick as a rookie, the first dynamic dual threat quarterback. That is a good one. Michael Vick's rookie season, absolutely. It was a challenge to try to defend him because of his legs. I guess I'm making the comparison with an arm and with understanding where his wide receivers are, pushing the offense downfield, creating big plays. That's why I go back to 83 in Marino's rookie season. But Vick is a good one. Simply Super Dave tweets, DA, I give you props. You actually got me worked up enough about Tiger to call into the radio show. I look forward to more debates, but we have to disagree for that to happen. This is one of those disagreements, buddy. By the way, can I get a beam up? Absolutely. I don't mind a little radio sparring. I don't mind a little radio debate at all. And there's nothing personal about this. Nothing. It's only sports. But, I mean, to me, the Tiger thing is, it's obnoxious. Because what you will hear is Tiger fanboys, Tiger sycophants say, well, you don't get golf. But, I mean, that's ultimately the point here, is that the golf fans and Tiger fans are really into it, But they think the rest of the world has to understand it. It would be like if I came on the day after the World Cup final going, do you realize that there's 3 billion people that watch this game internationally? We have to spend the whole day on it. And you go, yeah, but that's not reflective of your listenership. And maybe me going, well, you just don't get soccer. That's not a good enough out. It was important to you. It's not as important to anybody else because you are the Tiger Woods fanboy. And I'm not saying that to anybody specifically. I'm just saying in general. Ian tweets, your take on Tiger might have been the coldest take I've ever heard on the show. Tiger getting a win, major or not, is insanely important for the growth of golf. No other player will have a gallery like we saw in 18. Guys, that's the point. It's not good for the growth of golf for washed up Tiger or the tail end of Tiger to be the most popular guy on tour. It's terrible for the growth of golf. You know, if that was Rory yesterday or that was Jordan Spieth or that was Jason Day or that was Dustin Johnson, it wouldn't even make a blip on the radar what happened in the tour championship. We're not talking about Justin Rose today winning the FedEx points. Nobody would dare bring that up. But because it's Tiger, and because there's nostalgia, and because there is a hope and a wish of what he once was becoming again, there is this overreaction of, no, really, this is important. No, it's important to you because you love Tiger. It's not important to the growth of golf. The worst thing that could happen is Tiger being the best thing on the tour, because at some point he's going to retire. That's the worst thing for the growth of golf. The worst thing is everybody coming back to golf because of Tiger and then going away again once he retires. It's the exact opposite. All right, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And I have had enough of Sam Bradford. Get him out. It's over. The Cardinals offense is a disaster with him. They had to go to Josh Rose in the final seconds of that game just for a spark. He is the worst. And I need to see less Sam Bradford in my life.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Are we done with Sam Bradford yet in this league or what? I am so tired of Sam Bradford. Do you see the stats on the Cardinals offense with Sam Bradford? Have you seen? This is incredible how bad they are with Bradford at the helm.
You know, a multitude of things that kind of need to get fixed right now.
They were last in the league coming into the game. Last in yards per game. Passing yards per game, passing yards per play, first downs, third down percentage, time of possession, and points. They were last with Sam Bradford there.
I'm going to hold my head high knowing that I put my body and myself in the best position to succeed.
Can we please get a get him out montage for Sam Bradford? I don't want to see this guy under center ever again. It is over.
Get him out. Get him out.
Over.
Get him out.
Over.
Get him out.
Over.
Get him out.
Over.
Get him out.
Sam Bradford led a team that was last in the NFL in yards, passing yards per play, first downs, third down percentage, time of possession, and points per game. Get him out.
Whoa!
Get him out.
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 Yeah. Sam Bradford was not even hit that hard and he just went down.
Get him out.
Get him out.
I don't ever want to see Sam Bradford ever again. Never.
Get him out.
He stinks. He's awful.
Bradford studies it, gets the shotgun snap, drops back 7 feet in the end zone, shuffles. He's hit. He's sacked. It's a safety.
Just start Josh Rosen coming up on Sunday and let Sam Bradford just disintegrate into a pile of dust. If I never have to see Sam Bradford get another starting job again, it'll be too soon. How many gigs can this guy get despite being a bum?
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
You know what, everybody? I apologize. Today, I really came in hot. You know, I trashed Sam Bradford. I trashed Tiger Woods fanboys. I trashed the NFL officiating. I trashed the Patriots. I trashed the Vikings. I guess it was just a trash Monday for me. I don't know. I thought I woke up on the right side of the bed. I thought my sleep number bed had me fully rested and feeling good. I guess not. Now when I listen back, I was very mean today. But it's just how I feel. What can I say?
Get him out.
That's a good one. Joe tweets, I completely agree with your Tiger take, DA. Most of his fanboys are 30 to 40-something drunks who peaked in high school. It's why they're nostalgic for him. It reminds them of the last time their lives were relevant. That's harsh. That is, I don't want to paint everybody who likes Tiger as 30 to 40-year-old drunks who peaked in high school. That seems harsh. But nostalgia is a powerful thing. I remember where I was when Tiger walked up the Masters in 1997. I remember I was in high school or I was in college or I was at this job or I was married to this person. I was in this relationship, and that's a powerful thing, and I get it. Look, I'm a sports fan. I get it. You talk about the 86 Mets? Forget it. I got it. But I can't convince anybody that my little sliver of reality should be other people's slivers of reality. Patrick tweets, is not so much about nostalgia with Tiger. He had fallen 1,000% from grace and left for dead by everybody. Now, that is true. The actual comeback physically on this is very impressive. But again, wake me up when it's a major. Because before this, it was all about chasing down Jack's majors record. And then suddenly, it's not about majors. It's about FedEx points. I don't remember that conversation 5 years ago. All right, thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. I promise I'll be a happier, shinier DA tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.